For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello amigos, Jared Lawford with you here for the 16th edition of the Monday Waffle for 2015, and I'm the only man in the studio. That's right, I've been ditched. All the crew are busy today, but going solo for the show certainly means... Now, over the weekend, we saw the grand final rematch between Subiaco and East Perth at Medibank Stadium. East Perth thumped Subiaco at their last meeting on Good Friday, and they were only a solitary point behind at the last break before Subiaco put the foot down and kicked 5 goals to the Royals 2 in the last quarter to win by 23 points. It's a well-fought win for Subiaco, given they're missing a lot of their key players in Matt Boland, Lachlan Delahunty, Darren Rumble, Reece Waters, just to name a few from their back line. Michael Wood, he kicked 3 goals for the second consecutive week for Subiaco. Kyle Halligan also booted 3 majors, and Sam Menegola 2 goals to go with his 22 possessions and 10 tackles. Lee Kitchen again worked hard in the midfield for 25 disposals, while Brett Robinson had 28 touches. What made this win more considerable for Subiaco is they were missing most of their back line. They were missing Rumble and Toomey. And Jordan Lockyer led the way, not only defensively, but he had 24 possessions and 9 marks, while Scott Worthington returned. He had 20 touches and 6 marks as well. The only knights in shining armour for East Perth were their co-captain Craig Wolfe. He kicked 3 goals. He was the only multiple goal kicker for the Royals. And their skipper Brendan Lee finished with 26 possessions. Stephen Payne and Brant College were also solid in the midfield. Stephen Payne had 30 disposals, while Brant College had 29 disposals respectively. So still a good effort from those guys, but not enough to get them over the line. Now, Subiaco next weekend, of course, have the bye. They're going to enjoy that break. They're still 2 games clear on top of the ladder over West Perth, so they're certainly going to enjoy that rest. As for East Perth, they're going to be playing the struggling Perth side, so you'd think they should easily get over the line for that win, although East Perth have actually plummeted on the ladder down to 7th position, so hopefully they can get a win over Perth and bump up their percentage in the points.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Now, the best match over the weekend was between Claremont and South Fremantle. There was a 4-point margin, Claremont just barely scraping over the line. And on the line, we have Mark Reddings, our expert footy analyst. Lucky to get away with a win, Claremont, weren't they, Mark? They got off to a great start in the first quarter, and then they fell away. They were lucky to hold on in the end against South Fremantle.
Absolutely, yes. So 7 goals in the opening term. They only kicked another 2 for the rest of the game. So this shows you how it dried up considerably for the Tigers. They did lead 7-2 at quarter time, but to South Fremantle's credit, they fought back really well. Ashton Hams was outstanding in the midfield for them. And of course, Hayden Sloyth, who found himself inside the attacking 50 for fair portions of the game, bobbed up with a few goals himself. And that really put the pressure on the Tigers. Unfortunately, Hayden had to be pushed between the midfield and the forward line. But he's a really clever player and almost got South Fremantle across the line. But Ryan Neitz, as I said, outstanding for the Tigers. And Jack Bradshaw chipped in with 4 goals, giving the Tigers a 4-point win. But the siren couldn't come quickly enough in that last quarter for them.
Yeah, it was a very, very narrow win. Ashton Hams is been looking brilliant this year. It's a shame that he's retired from all forms of AFL. He's not putting his hand up to play another game for West Coast, but he could certainly do it if he got the chance. But
I'll tell you what, he'd be very close to a Sandover medal favourite as we speak. Aidan Tropiano from Perth has been a ball magnet, but Ashton Hams' form, we've seen him a couple of times on Channel 7, and he's impressed every time. Not only does he win the ball, but he uses it so well. And the same could be said for Ryan Neitz, as I said, a former West Coast Eagles player himself, always racking up high numbers with the footy. Just clever players, small in stature, but doing quite significant damage to opposition teams. So really good game of footy, 4 points the result, and one that South Fremantle probably will rue the fact they couldn't get across the line. Some poor kicking for goal at the showgrounds on Saturday. Both teams were guilty of that, but South Fremantle will rue certainly that opening quarter.
Yeah, it was some wayward kicking that cost South Fremantle the game. They play East Fremantle, who are struggling next week. You'd say that they're a good chance to win that.
Yeah, we've seen some really good derbies this year. Twice they've been cracking games. First up at Fremantle Oval, East Fremantle got the points. Steve Mille Lacs was in charge that day, as he was the following Derby at Adams Stadium when the Sharks coughed up a lead and South Fremantle came from nowhere to pick up a very important victory. Since then, of course, Mille Lacs has been replaced as coach at East Fremantle, and the wheels have fallen off the Sharks in many respects, which surprises me because when we've seen them, they've been very competitive. But I think South Fremantle deserve to start favourites this week. They do have a pretty consistent look about them at the moment. The likes of Corey DeLolio inside attacking 50. Brock Higgins working really hard in the ruck. Just feel that they've got enough weapons to maybe make it back-to-back victories over East Fremantle this season.
Absolutely. And Claremont, they're playing Peel at home. How do you see that game playing out?
Yeah, look, Claremont, as I said, very impressive for the first quarter on Saturday. But after that, I think they were a bit shaky, to be quite honest. So a real opportunity for Peel, who were too good for the Sharks at home. But we saw Peel a couple of weeks ago against Subiaco. And although they will likely play finals for the first time, they need to produce a more consistent footy. I guess it depends on how many AFL-listed players they get back from Fremantle as to just how strong they'll be this week. But certainly a good game, Claremont at home to Peel. Pretty tough one to tip. The Tigers perhaps will start slight favourites, but Peel, given the fact that they've got those AFL Dockers in their mix, they're going to be pretty tough to beat. So that would almost be the game of the round.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one more thing before we wrap this up. The Bernie Naylor medal, Ben Saunders, of course, he took that out last year. Who do you see as the hot favourite to take that out this year?
Yeah, well, Shane Yaron, of course, has been terrific for Subiaco. And he's one of those forwards that can bob up and kick four or five goals in a game in a hurry. So look, he's probably the player that is best placed to go on and take that award. And normally, as you say, there's a Ben Saunders type, a big key forward who stands up. But it looks like at this point, Shane Yaron is the man to beat, although we've still got quite a few weeks to go. But he's been outstanding for Subiaco. And you know that they'll get plenty of ball down to him given the dominance of Subiaco's midfield. So we'll put Yaron on top, but that could change between now and end of the home and away season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's having a terrific season. But thank you very much for your time today, Mark Reddings. We'll chat to you next week, mate.
Have a great week.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Now, of course, the other match down at Bendigo Bank Stadium between Peel and East Fremantle. Of course, East Fremantle, they've been struggling. They were coming off a six-game losing run. They had a disastrous record loss against Claremont. But they came out firing. They got away to a brilliant start. Brock O'Brien, he kicked the first goal, and he dominated with Jaden Schofield, Erdley, and Boston Williamson. They all kicked first-quarter goals, so they were leading by 22 points at the first break. The Thunder hit back in the second term, though. They kicked 3-1, all from Fremantle-listed players such as Hayden Crozier, Hurley, and Blakely. That had them within 8 points at the main break. But the intensity from East Fremantle was good all the way up until the third quarter. They still only trailed by a goal. And then the Thunder just ran away with it. They piled on 5-1 to come back from trailing at quarter time by 22 points to end up winning by 26. So East Fremantle, they had the intensity right. They were right in the game up until the third quarter. And then in that last quarter, they fell apart like a Chinese motorcycle. I probably shouldn't say that because my girlfriend is Asian. So I'll say they fell apart like a biscuit in your hot tea. Their intensity was good and then they just fell apart. But Jonathan Griffin, he dominated in the ruck for Peel. He had 13 possessions and 5 marks, but he had 31 hitouts while also going forward to kick 3 goals as well. So he was easily the best on ground. The goal kickers for Peel, Hurley, Uglay, and Jetta kicked 2 goals apiece for Peel, as well as Ed Langdon racking up 34 possessions, which is absolutely brilliant. Cameron Sutcliffe, 30 possessions. Jacob Ballard, 28 possessions. Hayden Crozier, 27 touches. So he'll most likely get another call-up to Fremantle after they had a shocking 71-point loss to Hawthorn down in Tasmania, so he's probably a welcome sight back for the Dockers. Brendan Jones also had 26 possessions and Connor Blakely with 25 respectively. Boston Williamson and Brock O'Brien, they kicked 2 goals each for East Fremantle, but Brock O'Brien, he kicked 2-5. It's wayward kicking that cost him there. He's really not going to be happy with that, despite the fact he got 19 possessions and 7 marks against his old side. Now, East Fremantle's midfield, they did look impressive. Jamie McNamara racked up 31 possessions. Rory O'Brien also had 31. Cameron Erdley had 27. And Liam Anthony had 24. So they weren't too bad. Their intensity was good. But next week, they're going to be playing South Fremantle. So the good old Derby, South Fremantle are going to make them feel about as welcome as a fart in a spacesuit. And East Fremantle really are struggling there, second last on the ladder. But the Derby always does spice up the contest a little bit, so you never know, they might come away with a win. As for Peel, next week they're going to be playing Claremont away. Now Peel are third on the ladder and Claremont are fourth. That's going to be an absolute firecracker of a match. And it's going to be tough to put your tips in for that one. There's going to be good intensity between both sides, but I honestly can't pick that one at the moment.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Now, the last game of the weekend was between the West Perth Falcons and the Perth Demons. Now, to be fair, West Perth dominated Perth all afternoon. They kicked five straight behinds, though, before getting their opening goal of the game, and that was to tell the story for the rest of the day for the Falcons. Their wayward kicking was absolutely terrible. They could have won easily by over 100 points, but they only kicked 14 goals from 39 attempts. So that is absolutely shocking. Their goal-kicking coach is going to give them an absolute spanking. Their margin was just 49 points at the finish, and like I said, it could have easily been over 100 points. Having said that, West Perth, they still kicked the only four goals of the first quarter, and then the last three of the second quarter, despite 11 behinds in that second term. And their maximum lead actually reached 70 points during the third quarter, but some fight left in the Perth Demons came back, and four last quarter goals saw them lose by just 49 points. So Perth Demons will be happy with that last quarter, but obviously in those first three terms, they were getting absolutely pummeled. West Perth's gun midfielders, who finished 1-2 in last year's Sandover medal count, they were once again unstoppable. Shane Nelson finished with 38 possessions, while Aaron Black had 33 possessions to go with his three goals. It's tough to pick who was actually best on ground between those two. You'd probably have to go with Aaron Black with those three goals alongside his 33 possessions. That's absolutely outstanding. Co-captain Jay Van Berlow also had 27 touches for the Falcons. Andrew Strike had 23 disposals, while Chris Shannon had 22. Chris Kunin dominated the ruck with 21 possessions, 9 marks and 39 hitouts and a goal. So he would certainly be right up there also alongside Aaron Black and Shane Nelson for best on ground. Michael Lowry kicked three goals up forward for the Falcons as well. The only downside for West Perth was a knee injury to veteran premiership defender Matt Gwardenden. Now, given his age, his rehabilitation is going to take a while. Hopefully we'll see him back soon because it did look like a pretty serious knee injury. Now, obviously, there isn't a lot of pluses for the Perth Demons in this round. Brennan Stack, he did kick four goals though, so he'll be very happy with that effort. Daniel O'Sullivan chipped in with two, and Mitch Morton worked hard for 27 possessions. Aidan Tropiano racked up another 33 disposals for the Demons. That is absolutely brilliant. Considering he's in the midfield competing against Shane Nelson and Aaron Black, you've got to take your hat off to that performance. Michael Sinclair, 28 disposals. Liam McKenna had 24 and Jared Bell had 21. Blake Borrett in the ruck, he had 18 disposals to go with 21 hitouts, but you have to say he was strongly outperformed by Chris Kunin, who had 39 hitouts. The West Perth Falcons will be playing the Swans away. Now, you'd expect them to win that match reasonably comfortably. They're sitting on second on the ladder, West Perth, while the Swans are sitting on fifth. Perth, they are struggling this season, obviously. They're dead last. But they are going to be playing East Fremantle, who have just had their seventh loss in a row. So you never know, there could be a sniff of a win there for the Perth Demons, finally. That's it for the 16th edition of the Monday Waffle and the NAIDOC round. My name is Jared Lawford. We'll see you next Monday with all the crew.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.